Good afternoon, everyone. How you are today? They are happy. Yes, that's good, thank you. Thank you, thank God. Well, we have been talking these Sundays about repentance and the truth is that it could happen to me. A whole year of talking to them about repentance. There are many things to learn. There are many things to put into practice. But today, we are going to conclude the topic of regret, the grace of repentance. And I have explained to them that it's a grace because it is something that is born in our heart. But thanks to the love of God, to the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then the truth is that while we continue loving sin because we do not love God, they say, John 3:19, that men prefer darkness to light. And this is something. The truth scares me. It's a worrying thing. Because many of us have walked in the path of the Lord. We have been in church since we were children, and we have sung praises, and we have read the Word, but what is happening? That many times after so many years, to know the Bible, to pray, and there is a change in us. Why? Because there is a love towards sin, and sin in any of its forms. Some define sin as missing the mark, and I also think that sin is harming ourselves and to the others. Sin is offending God, tells us not to do a certain thing. It is not arbitrary, because He is the King of Kings, and it just occurred to Him that He doesn't like adultery. He doesn't like it, huh? The false gods. Isn't that all God asks of us? Has a root, one cause, and also a consequence of ignoring. The Lord tells us that we do not have other gods. He tells us to love Him above all things, about all things. And then I think a lot about what do we dedicate our thoughts to during the day? We think about the things of God. We think about the love of God. We think of mercy and the grace of God. Probably yes. I think not enough. What is the most important thing in our life? I remember when I was there, younger, or when I was young, and that he was already working in companies and work 16 days, 16 hours a day and without rest and I repeated it a lot. Verse from Matthew 6. 33, remember, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And I said, sir, I am seeking your kingdom, and I am seeking your justice, and that's why you're giving me this job. And it was a job in which many times, and that was my life. And I saw it well, and I understood it and justified it. But what would God have thought of that? Of a person who dedicates his entire life to work. And so how can I mention this example? Well, he who takes it, well, for him the main thing is that it's what he loves the most. And what do you spend your time thinking about that? The one who likes drugs, alcohol, tobacco, all those sins, hey, addictive sex. Are you working, and what are you thinking about? In what he wants to do? So, when the Lord Jesus tells us that bad thoughts come from the heart, is telling us that from our mind, bad thoughts come out, and is telling us that our mind is the one that governs. Sometimes what we do, but many times, is ruling our mind, our feelings, and our will. And then, we are being voluntarily enslaved. In John 3:19, what it says that man preferred darkness more than God. That's what. This is something that should really scare us. It must really scare us, because it is very, very serious that God had to send His Son to take away the sin of the world, to remove sin from people, to cleanse us from sin, of evil, of iniquity, and still people prefer to be in the dark. This is serious, this is very serious. Let's see this verse from John 3:19, please. John 3:19 is a little after John 3:16 and John 3:16, we all know it. Because God so loved the world, who has given His only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will no longer be lost, have eternal life. Who will have eternal life? Those who believe in Him. And what do I believe with? I believe with my mind. I believe with my feelings, and I believe with my will. And already in verse 19 it says, this is the condemnation. That the light came into the world, who is the light? The Lord Jesus. He came into the world, and men loved darkness more. That the light, because His works were evil. And a while ago, Pastor Hans explained sin to us. Not counted as a sin at the time of execution. It is counted as a sin from the moment we think about it. We meditate on it because first our eyes, our mouth, our skin, our feelings, they put the heart on fire, and then the heart. Imagine, plan, and then it goes, and take the will, and through the will, execute the sin. It says here this is damnation. And I have explained to them, the blood of the Lord Jesus is powerful. It is very powerful. Why? Because it cleanses us from all sin. But the flames from hell, the sulfur of the lake of fire, for the whole eternity, they won't be able to cleanse our sin. The opportunity to cleanse sin is in this life. My brothers, the opportunity to come to the house of God is in this life. Because in the next life, well, there is not going, because God is going to be radiating light and heat and love and joy everywhere. But that's for those who we believe in Him, we will have eternal life. But those of us who have not believed in Him, even though we have been to church, even if we know the Bible from beginning to end, if we did not believe in the Lord with all our hearts, to put it first in our lives, what is going to happen? We will be separated from God. And I tell you, I still think a lot that within the lake of fire, still there it is going to show the love of God, because the punishment, what would someone who tramples on the Son of God deserve? It must be a horrible punishment. So, we have to be careful. It says here that they preferred and loved the darkness more than in the light, because His works were evil. These people who loved the darkness more, and that His works were evil, what do you think they were thinking during the day? They thought about Psalm 23. I don't think they thought about how hard it was for the Lord Jesus to be nailed to the cross, looking at our face. They didn't even remember that. Days, weeks, and months go by, and not even a thought of God passes through the mind. And this is the time. This is the opportunity, and the truth is that it is simple. That is why we have come, talking about regret. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. If we don't come close to the Word, if we do not approach God in prayer, if we don't put aside our ideas, our thoughts and give the place for the ideas and words of God, repentance will not be born in our hearts. And if there is no regret, there is no salvation. And regret hurts. Because if I tell the alcoholic to put down the drink, obviously, it's going to hurt. If it is the most precious thing for him. Let's see. Let's make a person who smokes 2 or 3 or 4 packs a day. Let him spend half an hour without smoking. Goes crazy. Because it is his life, because it is his love, because it is. It's air to exist. There are some people. What we learn from the example of others. And there are others that until it happens to us we learn. There is a saying out there that says, no one experiments in someone else's head. So, we know that sin is bad. It's the worst thing that could have happened to us. But many times, even though we know that sin is bad, we say, I can control it. I can handle it. I can take care of myself. I don't need what the pastor is saying. Many times we think so. But the truth is that sin first leads us to disorders of our spirit, and then it leads us to physical disorders, and then it leads us to anxiety, and leads us to illness, and then later it leads us to death. And sin always ends in tragedy and death. But we don't want to understand. But there is no other way. There is no other way. Can someone say no? No, no. Well, I leave the drink at whatever time I feel like it. The bad thing is that he never feels like it. Or he who is involved in adultery says, well, as soon as I say I already did it, and I leave it and forget everything, but it's not true. Because we become slaves who we love, of what we love. We complain a lot about our brothers, from that of the majority church here in Mexico, who have their statues and have their images and have things to love. But we don't realize that what we think we believe, we feel we dream that we are children of God. We have things that we also worship more than God. The job. Or it could be a person. Where are our thoughts? Because where are our thoughts? That's where our treasure is. There is our heart. Where our thoughts are. What we think about. That is what God wants us to give Him. It says here, John 3:16, God loved each one of us, gave His only Son, so that those of us who believe in Him will not be lost. Let us have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. While we are in life, there it will be, our interior, trying to induce us to fall into sin. It will be there constantly until the last day. And if it's not one way, it belongs to another and another and another.
And many times, I have told you well what Paul
said. Let sin reign in our mortal body. So, what do I have to do?
Starve sin.
That is what the Lord asks of us. The Lord does not ask us to tear out our eyes or that we sew our mouths. What the Lord asks is that we put a guardian in all our being so that we do not offend Him. And at the time that we understand that what we do offends the Lord, and then we would not want to offend Him. At that moment, the light is reaching our hearts. I can talk about food, why? Because food is a need, and that God gives us the satisfaction of food. But there are times when we eat and eat, and we eat and eat, and we can't get enough. We are not satisfied. Why? Because we need the satisfaction of God. And he who takes, he who smokes, he who commits adultery, the one who is into drugs.
So, what are they doing?
And what are we doing? We're trying to fill a place in our hearts. That only. Can someone fill it? And he is our owner. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can fill that hole in our hearts. The one who walks with many women. Why does he hang out with a lot of women? Because you are trying to satisfy a need for love. But we seek to satisfy our needs, where we will never satisfy them. It is like the man who is shipwrecked in the middle from the ocean, and it is drinking salt water to try to quench the thirst. That will never happen again. Last week, I told them how the matter with the snake is. The snake, because it has its fangs. And when it approaches us, the snake on the one hand stings us, fits our fangs, and on the other hand it injects us with poison, and it is a single being, that in its nature, inside it carries both things. Both carries the picket and carries the poison. Imagine a viper that stings and does not inject venom. It's difficult. Imagine a scorpion, a stinging scorpion, but not to inject the poison. That's what God wants and expects us to do. But. The Lord Jesus is the one who gives us the power to be and to do that way. And this, if we cannot understand it, sin is going to end up destroying us. How serious, how hard, how difficult. What the Lord Jesus says, if you think about committing sin, you have already sinned. And then he says, and this makes you a creditor to hell. How difficult, how hard, and when you give them. We talked the first week about this. I told them that a very important preacher, very well known, very famous, tells them, don't even worry. What is there in the Sermon on the Mount is a utopia. It's a dream that will never come true. You guys don't worry. The Lord Jesus, I knew that we will never be able to fulfill.
With the Sermon on the Mount,
you live your life. And what is he doing? He is sending them, but straight to hell. And is a well-known important preacher. That would be very difficult. For nothing more than his name, put into question his way of seeing things and address the words of the Lord Jesus. But the truth, the teacher, the great teacher, the fountain of wisdom and of knowledge and love, is not wrong. He says, don't be fooled. God is not mocked. If he says that thinking about sin, it's going to lead us to hell, what do you think is the truth? But we have the opportunity here. And now,
To repent, we need to first recognize that we have done wrong. We need to realize, feel, not only with our mind, but also with our feelings, that what we have done does not please to God, that we have jumped over God's hurdles, that we have grasped the words of God, we have trampled them. And when we realize that it is, when we can come together in confession, and we also talked about the case of Judas, that Judas did recognize what he had done wrong, and he felt it in his flesh. And he went and confessed. But he confessed to someone he shouldn't have confessed to. He made restitution, and where he should not have done so. And instead of going to stand before the Lord Jesus, instead of going to kneel and ask forgiveness from the Lord Jesus for not believing in the promise of salvation from the Lord, Jesus went and hanged himself. And all those who commit suicide, for the same reason they commit suicide, because they don't believe in the words, salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were like Judas, we would recognize that we did wrong, we would feel. We would see the enormity of the evil we did. We would confess to whom? Well, maybe with a friend. But the best thing would be to confess before the Lord Jesus. And after that, I remember when I was a child and my parents scolded us. You also have to remember, Sister Rosita must also remember, when my parents scolded me and I was trying to get up, my eyesight immediately struck me. Why? Because they called us ashamed. You should be sorry for what you did. And a way to show shame to parents was to look down. Now the insolence has already gone beyond all limits, draws the son's attention, and the son almost beats you almost. But if we have respect and fear of God, we will be ashamed of the sin we committed. But the most beautiful and the most wonderful thing is, start hating sin. That it would be the best thing that can happen to a son of God. And this verse we also review. It's here in Romans, in chapter 7. Says Romans 7:15, because what I do, I don't understand, or it's my mind. He doesn't understand what is happening. Well, I don't do what I want, but what I hate, that's what I do. What is Paul talking to us about here? That him, by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, developed a loathing for what he did, for the sin he did. Notice, Pablo here had already served the Lord for many years, and yet it's talking to me that he does things that he doesn't want to do, but he is telling me clearly, I don't delight in that crap. In that sin, in that swamp, I do not delight. And I'm fighting to take it away from me. That's what Paul says. And that is what the Lord expects of us, that day by day we are working to destroy that. That can prevent our entry to the kingdom of heaven. While we continue loving sin, the seal of the Spirit is not in our soul. While we continue loving sin, although we are not committing it, we are condemning ourselves. It is at the moment when we begin to understand the greatness of God, of the love of God when we begin to detest sin. For the Son of God, sin is like a thorn in the eye. And for the sinner, it's like a crown. Then there at work they even talk, oh yeah. I did it with 2 and with 3 and with 4. And I had a bottle and 2 bottles and 3. That is His glory. Sin and evil is His crown for the Son of God. Good heavens. I hate what I do. But this is necessary for each of us to live. Because it's like really. Let's show the Lord Jesus that we truly love Him above all things. Repentance. When we start to hate it is when. What I told you about is starting to happen. The ship that is walking towards the south, and suddenly the wind comes and... Imagine the Titanic. Every time I think about this Titanic, I say, it's very difficult. Move a ship, perhaps of 1,500 or 500,000, and suddenly a wind comes and turns it over. To walk to the other side, humanly, physically, on earth I see it as impossible. But spiritually, this is the work of the Lord Jesus for each of us. The one who does the heavy lifting, the one who did the dirty work, it was the Lord Jesus. He left the beautiful part to us, the easy part, the joy part of the joy of peace. He gave us the inheritance. And still we play hard to get. So, what's going on?
It can't be, look.
To finish, let's go to 1 Corinthians. In chapter 11. Last week I also explained to you, look, this repentance is a way of living. It's a self-assessment. What we need to do every day, every night before we go to sleep, every morning before we get up. Because when we get up, we don't know if we're going to make it tonight. And when we are going to sleep, we don't know if we are going to wake up.
Then it has to be.
Continue the spirit of repentance, working and working in us. If we, every day we come before the Father, and we talk to Him and tell Him how our day went. And we also tell Him what we did well and what we did wrong, and we ask for forgiveness. Then in our hearts there will be joy, and there will be joy, and there will be peace. Peace with God, peace with those around us. And then we will have a happy life, a blessed life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I explained to them, the enemy went to Job and accused him before God. And the enemy is really stupid because he says, oh well, yes.
Well,
how did you give him goods?
Well,
that's why he loves you and then take away his assets.
And oh yes, but you haven't touched his body.
Then take away his health.
And you're going to see that he's going to disown you and...
Then it takes away his health and what happened?
Did not renegade?
And then... Look, he took away all his children later too. But he didn't take his wife away, and his wife didn't let him help him. But to try to sink it too? And what did Joe? He did not deny the time he returns. Satan before God and says, so, what went wrong here? And tells, I imagine the father saying, well, you're really stupid. Telling Satan, you are very stupid. You took away his property. What did Job have to do to approach me? You took away his children. What did he have to do to approach me? You took away his property. And what did Job have to do to approach me? Because he was a man of integrity. All the things that happen to us in life, they know what it is for. To get closer to God. That is if we don't tell God what we did in the day, I assure you that Satan is there telling you. Let's see here 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Thus says the word of the Lord, so that whoever ate this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily will be blamed on the body and from the blood of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, let each one prove himself, and eat the bread and drink. Of the cup let each one prove himself, because he who eats and drinks unworthily, without discerning the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, judgment, eat and drink for yourself, which is why there are many spiritually ill and spiritually weakened among you, and many who are still alive sleep. That is to say, they are dead in life. Why? For unworthily taking the cup of the Lord, verse 31, yes. So, let's examine ourselves. We would not be judged. If we examined ourselves, we would not be judged. If we examined ourselves, we would not be brought to trial. And in the trial, who do I find? I meet the judge, and I find the accuser. If we would examine ourselves every morning and every night, then we wouldn't be taken to court. Why? Because then God, He would not be in His role as judge. He would be with us in His role as a loving dad. And if I go and tell Him, Dad, this day I failed you, forgive me, help me, transform me, Psalm 100, Psalm 51, believe in me. O God, a new heart and a right spirit within me. And every day I go in prayer to the Father, in the morning and at night. And at the hour that Satan arrives there before God and tells him, did you see Alejandro what he is doing? Yes, he already told me. You no longer have anything to do here. But since we don't examine ourselves, then we are judged. We are accused by Satan. And also then we live in temporal judgments. So, we don't get lost. And all for the love of God. Yes, then, we would examine each other. If we examined ourselves, internally, we would not be judged. But now that we are judged, we are punished with the say by the Lord, so that we are not condemned. With the world is going to be damned. All those who did not believe and love the Lord. But if we love the Lord, my brothers, what is it difficult for us to truly love Him with all our strength? If we are going to do things, so let's do them well. We were talking about how God wants everything. He doesn't want half. He wants everything. Either you are mine or you are from the devil. There is no more. Either you are cold or you are hot. There is no more. But if we are going to love God, my brothers, let's love Him with all our strength. Amen. Look, the first commandment emerged by itself. Love God with all our mind, with all our hearts, with all our strength, with our feelings. Let us love the Lord with our will. Let's love the Lord. And the Lord is going to pour joy on us. I enjoy peace and everything. All manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. And not only that, but an inheritance that we have waiting for us. Just by loving God with all our strength. This is our job, this is our task. And we do not do this task by ourselves. The Holy Spirit makes it to us. The Holy Spirit gives us grace. of regret. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace to love God. The Holy Spirit gives us grace to understand the greatness of God. The Holy Spirit gives us grace to realize that God is a God of love. Yes, there is going to be a trial, yes. But after how much patience, after how much love, after how much blessing, the Lord goes to call us to account, so I invite you. So that today we take the Lord's dinner.